The question today is, why can't I believe? We've said the reason you can't believe is because Jesus has not been revealed to you. Saving faith has not been given to you. And you must have those two things in your life. When He's revealed to you, you can exercise saving faith and believe with a present tense verb, a continuous habitual lifestyle action in your heart today, tomorrow, and throughout an eternity. It means eternal security. But the reason He's not been revealed to you is because we said some of the reasons is you're not willing to continue in His Word. You're not willing to do what He said. You're not willing to walk in His light, if you please, and strive to overcome the obstacles that the devil and flesh and the world sets in front of you. You're not willing to let the plowshare of God down in your heart and plow up and expose your old sin and your past life to you. Excuse me. You're not willing for that. And as a result, you're not willing to guard the seed so that it'll remain and bring forth fruit unto life in the good ground. Let Him make your heart good ground. You're not willing to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, you'll never come to the place that you can believe if you're not willing to make a feeble attempt for that to happen in your life. And therefore, you'll not understand and not put it together. You've got to apathy. You're unconcerned about the things of God, and unconcernedness leads to idolatry and immorality in Romans 1, which is a road to ruin. It's not to life. And because God pulls back the hedge, and instead of getting closer, you're getting further away. Instead of having more light, you have less because you're not thankful for the light God's give you. You're ungrateful about it and have ingratitude, and it leads to ignorance. What light you've got becomes darkness. Then you're not willing to pay the price. And we said in Luke 14, there's three prices mentioned there, and that was the price of loving Him supremely above your family. Bearing your cross and following Him means to take up your lot in life, whatever God's put your way, even suffering the persecution you're going to face to follow Jesus, and forsaking everything and leaving it behind because you don't have anything but what God's given it to you anyway. So it means to pay the price, be willing. We said the rich young ruler wasn't willing to do that. Paul was, and Paul was saved 3 days after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Well, the Lord knew all about it, and He revealed Himself to him, but He also still counted the cost. Am I willing to pay the price? And he said, I am. I'm willing to count all things lost that I might win Him. And then we said another reason some people never get to that place is they don't want a Lord. They don't want a boss. Except you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no life in you. The Bible said in John 6:53 what Jesus said to a group of people that wanted Jesus' provisions. They wanted His presence and they wanted His power, but they didn't want His person. And that means to be saved is to receive Him as Lord. And that's at the point of salvation. That's not a second work of grace. You take Him as Lord. You don't make Him Lord. He's already Lord, but you take Him as your Lord. And the only way you will do that is be willing to pay the price and let the Holy Ghost of God bring you to the end of yourself that you might exercise saving faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say call on the name of Savior. It says Lord. And it's more than a word. It's a work of God. 1 Corinthians 12:3 said, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So He's got to bring you to that place. So there in John 6, when He put demands on those people and said, you got to have a Lord, if you're going to, or you'll have no life in you. You'll not ever be saved. They said, it's too much for us. And they turned and they walked no more with Him. They walked away that day and turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't continue. They wouldn't do what He said. They wouldn't obey. And as a result, they died and they went to hell. Now, the thing about it, Jesus turned to the 12 there that day and said to them, He said, will ye also go away? That's in verse 67 of John 6. And Peter answered and spoke up for the whole group. Of course, Judas Iscariot was one that was lost and he wasn't saved. But still, Peter said this in John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And here this word believe here is a little stronger word than even the present tense verb. It means it's a perfect tense verb, which means a past completed action with existing results. There's a point in our lives where we believe that you was the Son of God and you're our Lord. And we believe today and we'll have existing results throughout an eternity. So you see that he had exercised saving faith somewhere in his life back there before that particular time. And he said, we're going to stay with you. And you see, which one would you be like? Will you be like the majority of the so-called disciples that followed him that day and wasn't willing to make him Lord? or not make him more. That's a wrong phrase. Excuse me for that. Wasn't willing to take him Lord. He's already Lord. You don't make him anything. He's already Lord. But they wasn't willing to take him as Lord. Are you going to be like them? If they are, you'll turn and you'll walk away. You'll discount the messages of why can't I believe that we've been dealing with now for these last 9 days. And you'll wind up like them. They went to hell that day. Or will you be like Peter and say, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. And let him teach you in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate and bring you to the end of yourself, that you might have him revealed to you as the righteousness of God needed in John 16:10, and that you might be saved and be willing to have a boss, a master, owner, or controller of your life, you see. Now, Lord's not just some word, but to many it's only a word. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, that's that John at the great white throne, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, he said, I never knew you at any times, what the Greek brings out. That doesn't mean you'd be saved and lost, because that's no such thing. It's eternal security, because you believe, exercise saving faith. You'll be saved today, tomorrow, and the next day, and throughout the years to come, throughout an eternity. So you see, if you'll continue, you can be in the right number, not in that number that he pronounces judgment on at the great white throne. Why can't I believe? Take inventory. Get honest. Your future depends on it. Repent and believe the gospel. Why can't I believe? Well, let me go a little further today. Maybe it's that you don't see enough in others to say, who say they're saved. You don't see enough in them to believe the Lord loves and cares for you. You see, God uses human instrumentality to love you through them. The psalmist David said this in the book of Psalms. He made this statement in Psalms 142, verse number four. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now, the psalmist is talking about a battle no doubt he was facing or something, deliverance from something. But I believe there's many people today who would look around and say, there's no man that cares for my soul. In other words, the devil tried to make you think no man cares. When you see those who call themselves Christians, in other words, and yet they don't seemingly care for the souls of men, they're living contrary to the book. They're living contrary to the truths that they've heard preached, and they're not demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, 5, verse number 22 and 23 said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And in other words, and when you sit down and try to talk to many so-called Christians today, and you're trying to tell them what you're going through and all the experiences that you have, how God's working, and what your frustration and your confusion and all that you're in, or even your lost condition after you've made a profession of faith, they'll tell you, I just don't understand. And usually, if you don't get saved in a little short time after they've gone through their little easy believism tactics, they'll tell you, they'll get angry with you because you won't conform to their way of thinking. They won't demonstrate the love of God to you, and it causes you to think and possibly say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not Christianity. The Lord told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, and just before he ascended up on high, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, he said, you'll be witnesses when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You'll be true witnesses. And now it helps when someone testifies how the Lord brought them through something, and they understand and care for you. That helps you to draw nearer to the Lord Jesus. And that's what God wants us to be. That's why we go through some things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he's the God of comfort, who comforteth us in all of our persecution, tribulation, and whatnot, so that we might in turn be able to comfort others. Everything we go through, even in getting to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, is all for us a benefit in our lives, that God might use it to where we can sit down with somebody else and say, let me tell you how the Lord brought me through. You see, let me tell you how the Lord brought me through. Well, the problem is many people don't even think the Lord cares or the Lord loves them. But the Bible says this, he said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, let your manner of living be to where it adds to or strengthens the gospel of Christ. That's what the word becometh means. And in other words, he's speaking, of course, as Paul spoke here to the saints, that's the way you ought to live, in such a way that others might see Jesus in you. Jesus spoke to the saints, spoke of the saints in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God wants you to demonstrate good works in front of others by living in such a way that demonstrates that you really care for their soul, because God uses that to let them zero in on you to say, hey, something's real in their life. You're salt. You're light. Salt makes you thirsty. And if you're salt, it'll make others thirsty. And salt preserves because it'll carry them through. Light enables you to see more clearly and have more hope. Now, the Lord reveals his love through his people. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 11, verse number 4, "I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love." You see, God uses human instrumentality, and he wants us to recognize that. And yet, many are like the psalmist. No man cares for my soul. Nobody cares. Well, I tell you, we need to understand, if you really care for somebody, you'll tell them the truth. I use the illustration about if I knew there's a rattlesnake outside the front door, that I'd want to warn you about it. And I'd be a sorry devil that wouldn't tell you about the rattlesnake out there and let you carry your wife and kids outside and they get bit by that rattlesnake. So I'm trying to tell you the truth in these series of messages on why can I believe, to let you realize that Jesus must be revealed to you. And the problem is that with something standing in our way from keeping Jesus being revealed to us. And we've used these many, many things that we'll probably recap on tomorrow's message and try to go back over them. But one of the things is you just don't see enough in some other people who say they're Christians to cause you to get thirsty for the things of God. Folks, those many, many, many professors are not possessors. Don't set your sights on them, but may you set your sights on someone who's true blue and continues, and you too will come to the place that you might be saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.